You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Let us pray. Lord, how blessed we are to gather in peace this morning, to hear your word, to be saturated by your love, and to sing our praises in return. Strengthen and bless us with hope and peace and joy and love in this Advent season, that we may better herald your coming and welcome it in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the instruction that Paul gives to the church in Thessaloniki. And it's no mean feat, because don't forget, you're in the period of persecution. Though Thessalonica was not being actively persecuted, as far as we can tell, at the time he wrote the letter. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to rejoice always. And it's interesting that today, of all days, that's the only reading that has the word joy in it. And it's even buried in rejoice, as in have joy. No one probably exemplifies the ability of Christians to do that more in the modern world, maybe, than our brothers and sisters in the church in China. During the second half of the 20th century into the first part of the 21st, the church in China, despite active attempts to oppress it, stamp it out, its meeting in secret throughout most of the provinces has grown so large that China is set to become the largest Christian nation by 2050 at this rate. Unfortunately, we in the West are not the only ones to have gotten the memo. And they're experiencing a different kind of persecution now. First, they let them go legal for a little while, and now Xi Jinping is repressing the Christian church in less overt ways than simply trying to stamp them out. He's trying to co-opt them. So a textbook used on Chinese campuses, university campuses right now, recounts one of the Christians' favorite stories from John chapter 8, where the woman is caught in adultery, and Jesus says to those who have gathered to stone her, "Let you who are without sin cast the first stone." And after they've all departed, Jesus turns to her and says, "What? Neither do I condemn you. Go now and sin no more." Only in the version promoted on university campuses in China, Jesus picks up a stone and beats her to death. In the Henan province, the Ten Commandments have been taken down in churches and replaced with a new set of commandments from the party, the first of which is, be ever vigilant for the intrusion of Western ideas into the Great Revolution. Little ironic, since communism comes directly from a secular Jew in England. How do we rejoice always? How do we pray without ceasing? How do we give thanks in all circumstances? Easy to give thanks when we're warm and well fed. How do we give thanks at other times? Well, this is what the other readings are today are about. I don't know if you noticed, during the reading of Isaiah, we've had our Sundays leading up, the kids were asking me the questions before church, which tied in perfectly for me. When hope, peace, love, how do we, hope, peace, joy, and finally love before Christmas, how do we experience joy? It flows from the hope and the peace we've been celebrating the first couple of weeks. The prophet Isaiah, you'll notice, is proclaiming a time of coming joy for those who are in exile in Babylon. But with that joy, joy for those who are faithful, comes the day of the Lord's vengeance. The day when the wrongs will be set right. The day when it will be discovered by those who think they've gotten away with evil that they haven't. And in that hope, the people can find peace in the midst of strife and have joy in the midst of difficulty. And so it is for us as Christians. And no story, I think, communicates the kind of joy and that we who might experience repression in this world, might experience persecution, might experience slander in this world, the joy we'll have on that day as a pagan tale that has been much beloved and preserved and recounted by Christians for 20-some centuries. And that's the story of Odysseus. If you've never read the Odyssey, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. I mean a real quick one. It takes about 25 hours to read. It's a long poem. But Odysseus is one of the great heroes of the Trojan War. He's on the side of the Greeks, obviously. So he sets out from his home, goes overseas, like any good soldier does when he's called to patriotic duty. Now, he's called, and of course they're trying to get back Helen, who's been abducted and or run off, hard to say. And so they go off and they have this war. Now, whereas Achilles is known for being the strongest warrior and fights against Hector in the great battle, if you can see the movie from a couple years ago that does an okay job of telling it. What Odysseus was famous for was being the smartest warrior the Greeks had. So from Odysseus's fertile brain comes the plan for the Trojan horse. Okay? This is a modern recreation of this. This picture was taken in Greece a couple of years ago. I think the horse ended up in Germany, but I can't remember for sure. But they did their own recreation of it. And of course, inside hid the Greek warriors. They give this gift. The warriors jump out at night, and so consequently they can breach the walls of Troy and bring the war to an end. So Odysseus is really the architect of their victory. So, like all soldiers who've been away from home for a long time, what he desperately wants is to return to his home and his wife Penelope and his son Telemachus, or Telemachus, depending on how you pronounce it. And so he sets off. Has lots of adventures along the way, gets blown off course, ends up on an island of the Cyclopses. And of course the Cyclopses are this sort of giant cannibalistic tribe. And he has to trick the Cyclops Polyphemus, puts out his eye so that he and his men can escape. And as they're setting sail and getting back on the ocean, the blinded giant is throwing rocks at the boat, trying to sink it. And what happens next is that he makes his mistake. He can't keep himself from bragging just a little bit. Up till then, he'd been calling himself nobody, so that when Polyphemus would have no idea who had actually done the deed and tricked him. But he says, I'm Odysseus, I'm this great. Well, unfortunately, the giants, the Cyclopses, are the sons of Poseidon, and Poseidon, the sea god, decides, you can take my son's eye out, guess what I'm going to make you do? You're in trouble. And the rest of the poem are all these horrible adventures that he goes through. Loses in the end all his men and all his ships, trying to return home. Has amazing adventures along the way, probably the most famous of which is his encounter with the sirens, whose song is so beautiful that men drown themselves trying to reach the beautiful women. They're not actually all that beautiful, you can see from the picture. But through lots of adventures, he finally lands on his home island, but all has not gone well in his absence. For years, because he was such a great warrior, people stayed away from the throne. But then, little by little, these suitors started trying to come and saying, look, Penelope, you know he's dead. He must have died in the war. You have to marry one of us now. Now, Penelope is smart. As the place fills up, she says, well, you know what? Let me first bury my husband properly. Let me make a proper burial shroud for him. And that's what she does. Every day she goes and weaves the burial shroud, and every night she sneaks back up to her room and undoes the work of the day so that progress is never made. This works for about 3 years. And then they discover that they've been hoodwinked. And they say, set the date or we'll kill you anyway and take the crown. Take the kingdom for ourselves. You're up to about 100 of these guys. And they're eating all the food that comes into the castle. They're having a party. They're getting drunk. Think of a big fraternity party that never ends. And this is what they're doing. So she's just as smart as her husband. She has one more trick up her sleeve. She says, okay, we'll have some games to see who the most worthy suitor is. Here's what you have to do. It's going to be an archery contest. You have to take my husband's bow, and we're going to take the handles out of 12 axe heads, and we're going to line them up. The person who can string his bow and shoot the axe through all 12 axe heads will be the new king, and I'll marry them. Here's the trick. No one but Odysseus can string his own bow. And so the day arrives of the big games. And what's happened is that now Odysseus is home disguised as a beggar. Disguised as someone who is not the king. He encounters first one of his faithful servants and then his son. And they have a plan what they're going to do on the day of the games. So the men gather. And none of them can string the bow. One after another, these great suitors, these men from other kingdoms are trying to do this and they can't do it. When finally Odysseus presents himself still in his beggar's rags and says, may I have a try? And they all laugh at him. So he takes the bow and strings it up and fires, as you can see the picture here, through the axe heads. And he stands revealed as the king he truly is. And then he proceeds to take those who were going to rape his wife, had been going through his kingdom and destroying it, had been oppressing his people, and he proceeds to use his bow to finish them off. This is a picture of the last judgment. Our king has come hidden in flesh the way that Odysseus was hidden like a beggar in his rags. But this next time he comes, he will be revealed and he will set right all that has gone wrong. Every evil actor who thought they got away with it will discover they didn't. And it is for that reason that we can rejoice always. We can rejoice when we get the terrible diagnosis. We can rejoice in the midst of our grief. We can rejoice even in the midst of injustice and have the strength to pray for our persecutors because we know the day is coming when they will be held accountable. And we must pray for them to repent while yet they can, before the king is revealed and injustice set right. As Tom highlighted for us at the beginning of our service, we live in a dangerous world. Churches didn't used to have emergency response teams. The world's changing and it's difficult and dangerous right now. We can rejoice. We can pray without ceasing. We can give thanks in all circumstances because we know what the King is doing. He has sent a messenger to remind us. John the Baptist is not famous for his warm and fuzzy sermons, folks. But he does prepare the way for the Lord. And the Lord comes in mercy and humility to invite us to repent while yet we can. So that we will know that in time, his resurrection proves to us that in time, all evil will be put away, even death itself. And that is a great hope to those who suffer in this life. I don't know if you know this picture, if you've seen it. It's a clip from 30 seconds of video that was published by Hamas on October 7th. The girl in the picture's name is Naima Levy. And I read an article by her mother. She's 19 years old. Her mom in the article recounted how basically she was what we would think of as a hippie or a peacenik. What she spent her time doing, apart from the athletics you would expect from a high school girl, was having good time with her three siblings, and she worked actively in, well, it's not ministries, but activities meant to bridge the divide between Jews and Palestinians and Westerners, get us all talking, help develop peace in the region. And that didn't matter at all to the people who invaded her kibbutz, which was also largely dedicated to the same thing, the whole community she lived in. She was abducted, and it is expected she will never return, because it is expected that particularly the young women who were abducted on that day will never be returned, so they can never tell the stories of what happened to them that day. And in the days since. If we were in her circumstance, if we were in her family's circumstance, how could we rejoice? How could we pray without ceasing? How could we give thanks in that moment? Only by knowing that the day is coming when all who perpetrate evil will be accountable for it. They will either repent of their evil and receive the mercy of the king, or they will fail to repent and receive the justice of the king. That is our hope that allows us to, on this side of eternity, work as Christians to bring peace, to be the peacemakers that Christ says are blessed. It's what allows us to have the strength and courage to pray for those who persecute us. So it allows us to have a strength beyond ourselves, for we have a joy beyond ourselves, a joy rooted in the sure and certain knowledge of what Christ has done for us and how his resurrection changes everything for the better. We will be like Penelope and Telemachus on the day that they were liberated by their father when the day of judgment comes. The Odyssey ends in an almost anticlimactic way. After the great battle with the suitors, Penelope and Odysseus sit down together, as Christ will sit down with his bride, the church. And Penelope asks Odysseus, "Where were you all these years?" And he says, "Where do I begin?" Where did Christ begin? In a manger, to grow, to teach, to be crucified, to be raised, to go to hell and liberate the souls in prison there, and finally to come again after having reigned at his Father's right hand. This is what we proclaim. This is the foundation for our joy. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you for the great story of our salvation, so much greater than the Odyssey, and yet its pattern mirrored there. Lord, grant us the strength to trust in you when we are in the midst of difficulty. Help us, Lord, to indeed rejoice, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks for all in all circumstances, because we know what you have done and that you are indeed coming again. Grant us joy in this time as we prepare for your coming in humility, knowing that that coming set the stage for your final victory over all evil. Set right the wrongs of the world, we pray. Bring Nyama and all who suffer home. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best art in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, that